You are listening to a message by Dr. John Hanna. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org.
This coming Tuesday, we are going to be hosting here at our church a breakfast for all the Nazarene pastors in our zone. And there's going to be anywhere from 10 to a dozen Nazarene pastors from Junction City and Cresswell, a couple in Eugene, Cottage Grove, as far away as Florence. And we're going to serve them breakfast here. And we just want to encourage and bless the Nazarene pastors in our area because we're all in this together. We all want to see our communities touched by God's grace and God's goodness. And so I want to pray for us this morning. Father, it's good to be in your house this morning. Driving to church today, it was pretty foggy. The fog was very heavy. And there were some places where the visibility was not good. But as I was driving to church, this thought came to me that oftentimes life is like that. And sometimes we go through life in a fog and we can't see very well and we don't know what's up ahead. And so it forces us to slow down and to really pay attention and to seek you more because we don't know what lies ahead. But by faith we walk hand in hand with you, trusting you, believing that through the fogs of life, you're going to guide us faithfully on into the next leg of the journey. And so there may be someone here today and they're kind of in a fog and they're just not quite sure what lies ahead or which way to turn. And I just pray that they will hold on to your hand and trust you and believe you, that you are indeed our great shepherd and you will guide us through these misty times in our lives where we just can't see as clearly as we'd like to. I want to pray for our breakfast gathering with the Zone Nazarene pastors here at our church on Tuesday. I'm a pastor, so I'm right there in the trenches with them. We know what it's like to have a burden for the people in our congregations. When someone in our congregation is not in church, our heart is burdened for them. And we know what it's like to have a burden for our community. We want to see our community set free from addiction and crime and drugs and all the things that plague our communities. And so our purpose Tuesday is to just encourage and bless the pastors who come. And I pray that for the 2 hours that we're together, they'll feel refreshed and renewed by your presence in that meeting on Tuesday morning. And then I want to pray for the campus life gathering for the over 100 middle school kids that will be in our building that night. And I just pray that something amazing will happen that night, that you'll touch the hearts of a number of these kids, the vast majority of whom don't know you, don't attend church anywhere, but that something will be said and done in that gathering that will touch the hearts of many of those young people, and they'll want to learn more about you and your plan for their life. And so I pray that our church will be a blessing for this gathering on the 23rd. As we continue this study into the 12 original disciples of Jesus, as we look this morning into the life of Andrew, I pray that we will be inspired by his devotion to you and encouraged by the fact that you used him in a powerful way to help spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as we open your word, Lord, would you teach us some truths that we can apply to our own lives as we seek to be modern day Andrews right here where we're at, where we live today. And all God's children said, amen, amen. Last Sunday, a number of you weren't here last Sunday. I don't know where you were, but you weren't here. But last Sunday, I opened with an illustration of a man named Edward Kimball. I took that illustration and I printed it out on a one-page paper. I'm going to share this with the pastors on Tuesday that come here. I want to pass this out, especially to those of you who weren't here last Sunday. And if you want a copy for yourself, go ahead and take one. This is such a powerful illustration for so many different reasons. Because God used a nobody named Kimball in an amazing way. One of the greatest lies of the devil is that we are a nobody. That God can't use you, that you don't have influence. Don't believe that lie that comes straight from the devil. I'm convinced more than ever God is calling us to be carriers of good news, carriers of the good. If God doesn't use us to proclaim the good news of his gospel in our community, who's he going to use? It's amazing how quickly news can spread. Yesterday, there was unfortunately a shooting in Springfield. It happened about 6:30, and some guy just went off and shot some people in his apartment and I guess started shooting out in the street. That happened about 6:30. I first heard about it on my news feed on Facebook just minutes later. And then the news report came up on my feed. And then Tim texted me. I mean, news spreads just like that.
I got it.
Oh, okay. See, you got it from her and she got it from somebody. It's the domino effect, you know? It's the crazy domino effect. But that's how it works. If you're going to hear news from somebody, whether it's good news or bad news, you're going to hear it from somebody. I believe God is calling us to be couriers of the good news. Somebody has to tell somebody else about the good news of the gospel. How else are they going to know? Somebody told you, whether it was a parent, a Sunday school teacher, a friend. I mean, somebody passed that on to you. Well, we're in this study looking at the original 12 that Jesus called together. Because however mighty Jesus was as the Son of God, he still gathered around him a group of 12 very different but imperfect men that he could work with and mentor and disciple and train and teach and rebuke and correct so that they then can carry on the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about Peter. And I called him Passionate Peter, because if you look at the life of Peter, he was a passionate person. And it's good to have passion. And it's great when that passion is directed towards a good cause. And it's even better and holy when that passion is directed towards the things of God. Peter was a very passionate man. He was a type A personality. But Jesus had to work with him in a very unique way to help him redirect that passion towards those things that matter the most. You know, tomorrow's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Talk about a man who was passionate about a cause that he needed to be passionate about. And God used an imperfect man named Martin Luther King Jr. to help begin the process of racial reconciliation and healing in this country. We still have a long way to go. But God used specifically Martin Luther King Jr. and his passion for equality, racial equality. To have passion is good. To have passion for a good and worthy cause is great. But ultimately, when that passion is directed towards the eternal things of God, there's nothing better than that. Maybe you can resonate with Peter. All that passion needs to be redirected to God, and it needs to be sanctified, consecrated to God, so that God then can use that in a way that you can't on your own. Let's look at his brother Andrew today. So turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And let's read about Simon Peter's brother named Andrew. Now the name Andrew means strong man, conqueror, manly man. And so, guys in the room, and you young men in the room, if you want to know what a real man is like, look at the life of Andrew. Our culture does a horrible job of portraying to young men what a man should be, and they're not always the right images. Andrew's name means manly. This is what a man should be, and more importantly, this is what a man of God should be like. So he's a great model. He's a great model for what it means to be a man. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 35. We're going to begin with the story of John the Baptist. Because originally, Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. Every man follows somebody. If a man portrays himself to be a leader and he doesn't follow anybody, he's lying. Everybody follows somebody. The question is, who are you following? And if you're following the right person that will help you become a great leader. And so Andrew recognized that early on in his life. He saw something in John the Baptist. He heard his message. He felt and believed that John was sent from God. And so Andrew said, this is a man that I could get behind. This is a man that I could follow. And so before Jesus ever began to shape Andrew and begin to work with Andrew, John the Baptist was already doing that. You see, John the Baptist did not only come just to prepare the way for Jesus. John the Baptist came and helped develop future disciples of Jesus. So let's look at John chapter 1, beginning at verse 35. The next day, John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. And we'll see later on that one of those was Andrew. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." It's kind of a unique way to introduce Jesus, but there's some really strong theological undertones there. The Lamb of God, the one who was to be the sacrifice for the sins of humanity. It's a powerful title for Jesus. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. So give these disciples credit. They were following the right person in John the Baptist. And then when John the Baptist says, there's the Lamb of God, they then redirected their attention to the one that they needed to follow. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" Verse 39, "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And then Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. I real briefly want to talk about Andrew using the acronym RAD. He was RAD. He was RAD, R-A-D. The R stands for, he was a recruiter. He was a recruiter. He was one of the main recruiters in recruiting other disciples to follow Jesus. And the first was his very own brother, Peter. Look at verse 41. The first thing Andrew did. So after spending the day with Jesus, after soaking in his teaching and seeing for himself that this really was the promised one that John talked about, the first thing, that's very important. He didn't go off and mess around and play golf and, you know, do something else. He was so convinced that John the Baptist was right, that this Rabbi Jesus was the Lamb of God, the Messiah, the one that we really need to follow, that he said, "I've got to tell Peter." It's the first thing he did. It's all about priorities. When we get up in the morning, what's the first thing we do? And the first thing we think about and the first thing on our agenda really highlights where our passions are. I think it's important every day to try to maybe make a list. What am I going to do today? You know, what's important to me? And if you make a list and you begin to list those down for yourself, you'll see what's important to you. And if the things of God are important to you, you'll see that on your list. You know, what are the first things I need to do today? Well, I need to spend some time in God's Word. I need to spend some time in prayer. I need to go to the grocery store. Well, maybe that's not as important, so I can put that down here. You know, what we do first in our day, what we do first with our lives, tells us where our priorities are. And so the first thing that Andrew was compelled to do before anything else was, I got to go tell Peter. It tells you how close they were, tells you how tight they were, but it also speaks to the fact that Andrew didn't want to go on this journey with Jesus without his brother and possibly could have been his best friend. We don't know. Why would you want to go on this journey with Jesus alone? First thing he did, what compels you in the morning? The first thing, what do you think about first thing in the morning? When you first get up tomorrow morning, let Jesus consume your heart, your mind. May he be the first thing that we meditate on, that we think about. And let's allow our day to be shaped by that rather than just trying to fit Jesus' things in where there's holes in our schedule. What's important to us? So I love this here that the first thing Andrew had to do was go tell Peter. But then the second thing we see here, verse 31, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon. So he had to go find him. Now, we don't know what Peter was doing. Maybe he was fishing. Maybe he took the day off and was playing frisbee golf. I don't know. We don't know. But he had to go find him. He didn't wait for Peter to come to him. That's how consumed Andrew was with this message of, I need to start recruiting people to follow Jesus. So this speaks to us as well. If we're going to be carriers of good news, who are we intentionally seeking out? We have to be intentional about it. Oftentimes it begins with our own family. Maybe you have a relative that you're just not on good speaking terms, or you haven't talked to in a while, or you just butt heads. I don't know. Who better to connect with them than you? Who do you need to find and seek out and perhaps repair a relationship or restore a broken relationship or help them redirect their passions to Jesus? And as I'm speaking, let the Holy Spirit talk to you. What's the first thing you're going to do regarding who you're going to find and seek out about proclaiming the good news of Jesus? And then, when he found Simon, he gave him the message, we have found the Messiah, the Christ. We found him. The one that's been prophesied, the one that John the Baptist has been talking about. We found him. You've got to come see for yourself, Peter. Come on. And I don't know if Andrew had to grab him by his robe and drag him kicking and screaming, but he brought him to Jesus. And then Jesus took the rest from there. Andrew was so passionate about following Jesus that he just had to bring others to him. Let's be intentional. If our church is going to grow, friends, if we're going to see people come to know Jesus in this new year, if we want to see this place so filled that we have to go to a second service and maybe even a third service, it's going to happen because first we go find people and we tell them about Jesus. That's how it works. People don't come to church anymore on their own. We have to help them understand that it must be a priority for them. That's the R. Andrew was a recruiter. The A in rad is Andrew was audacious. This is what the word audacious means. It means disposed to venture or take risks, to be daring, to be venturesome, not prone to fear. Unrestrained by convention. There's a story in the Gospels that highlights this. Turn to John chapter 6, a couple chapters over in John chapter 6. And this is a great story to tell right at lunchtime. It's a little afternoon right now, and I know you're all hungry, and you're ready for lunch. And so anytime you start talking about feeding the 5,000, man, your stomach's going to start growling. But I want you, as I read this, to notice the role that Andrew specifically played in this story. And it was a very significant role that he played. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs that he had performed on the sick. Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another one of his disciples, verse 8, Andrew, Simon's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." So you got this large crowd. They're hungry. And Jesus is saying, "What are we going to do?" Andrew didn't want to just sit back and see what Jesus was going to do. Andrew wanted to participate somehow. Andrew didn't quite know what was going to happen, but he knew something could happen because he'd spent enough time with Jesus. And so Andrew was the one who said, "Well, there's this boy with some fish and some loaves." And he's thinking to himself, "I don't know what Jesus is going to do, but let's do it. Let's take on this adventure, Jesus." And then, of course, when Jesus did his miraculous miracle, don't you think that that just strengthened his faith even more? That he said, "All right, I saw what Jesus did. Let's go do this thing, Jesus. Whatever you want to do with me, with us, let's do it." He was audacious. He took that step of faith. And maybe he didn't understand, but he trusted Jesus enough to respond to Jesus' request to feed these people. "Jesus, let's take that risk and let's do it." Let's be audacious followers of Jesus. We may not understand all that Jesus is going to do with what we offer him, but let's take that daring risk of faith. "Jesus, let's do it. I'm in this with you. Let's go on this roller coaster ride. Let's take this daring ride of faith. Whatever it is you want to do, Jesus, I'm all in." That's the kind of followers of Jesus we need to be. Andrew was audacious. I'm calling him Audacious Andrew. Daring faith. "I'm all in, Jesus. You can count on me." May some of that same spirit well up within us. Let's not be shy or timid or sit back. Let's participate with Jesus. "Jesus, let's do this. I offer you what I have. And let's make this thing happen." Amen? And finally, in the RAD, Andrew was a recruiter. He was audacious, and the D in RAD is he was devoted. He really was devoted to the very end. Turn to Mark chapter 13. This is an interesting passage to read. Does the Bible have anything to say about all the craziness that's happening in the world? Read through Mark 13. It's not going to give you all the answers, but it'll give you enough clues to point out that we're nearing the end and we need to be ready. And we should be watching, and we should be ready, and we should be devoted to the very end. Now, Jesus had his core of 3 disciples, John, James, and Peter. Those were his 3 core, but Andrew was close enough that he was the 4th. And he was there in the inner circle, if you will, and we see that here in Mark chapter 13. As he was leaving the temple, one of the disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings." And by the way, if you go to Jerusalem today, you can still see the remnants of these stones. Renee and I were there. They're massive, but they're all crumbled because the temple was destroyed. But those very same stones were there. They're dated over 2,000 years. They're still there. Do you see all these great buildings? Jesus replied, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. And if you go to Israel, you see them scattered. They're there. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will all these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to be fulfilled? And you can go on and read the rest of the chapter for yourself, because Jesus says some pretty significant things there. But I highlight this passage to show you that even to the very end, Andrew remained devoted. Tradition tells us that Andrew was crucified. This is not in the Bible, but tradition tells us that Andrew was crucified on a cross that was in an X shape. Peter was crucified upside down on a cross, and then one of the ways the Romans would crucify people was in a cross that was marked in an X. And so that's what tradition tells us, that even to the very end, even when he faced a cruel death for following Jesus, he remained devoted. May Jesus also find us devoted through the highs, through the lows, when things are good, when things are rough. May Jesus find us devoted even to the very end. And even in our journey with him, we get alone and we privately ask Jesus questions. We spend quiet time with him, and that's where the things of God begin to be revealed to us, in our alone time with him. Make it a habit to spend time with Jesus, even as these four did. And they asked him questions privately, and Jesus began to reveal things to them that he didn't reveal to the other disciples at the time. Andrew was rad. He was a recruiter. He wanted to see many people come follow Jesus. He was audacious. He was not prone to convention, but whatever Jesus wanted to do, however unconventional it was, he was all in. And he was devoted to Jesus, even to the very end. I tell you this, and we go through the lives of these disciples because there was a domino effect with these disciples. Jesus called them. These disciples then went out, spread the good news. Tradition tells us that the gospel was spread in what is modern-day Russia because of Andrew and his testimony and his faithfulness. May God also find us rad as well, recruiters for Jesus, audacious in our faith, and devoted to him.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.